I think of it like if you think of your own consciousness as a radio receiver, if you can tune it to Amitabha's frequency, then Amitabha will beam through. The purpose of doing Nyenfo is to get into that relationship of sympathetic resonance with Amitabha. And some of the imagery used to convey this can be very interesting, like the Qing dynasty figure Jixing Chaowu talks about you holding Amitabha in mind while at the same time Amitabha is holding you in mind, such that making a clean distinction between self and other, you can't even really do it. If you go all the way back to India, the so-called Three Pure Land Sutras tend to portray the Pure Land of Amitabha Buddha, or in fact of any Buddha, as situated in space. This may have something to do with the development of mandalas, which gave you a sort of a sacred map of the cosmos. But it may also go back to very practical concerns about what are you doing in the practice of visualization? Because this practice starts with visualizing the Buddha and visualizing what a pure Buddha land would look like. And for that to happen, you need a concrete image to visualize. You can't visualize the Dharmakaya very well. You can visualize a Sambhogakaya, a complete reward body of a Buddha, and a very richly described land. If you are getting tired, if it's hard to hold the visualization, if you find your attention flagging, you can bring in the Buddha's name and simply contemplate the name as a sound image within your mind. Anybody who's ever tried this usually understands pretty intuitively that doing a visualization is a lot harder than just imagining a sound. You know, we all kind of subvocalize our own thoughts to ourselves all the time. So we know what it's like to have a voice going on in our head, and it's much easier to do than visualization. So they would say, as a kind of a way of treading water for a while you get your wind back, just keep the name in mind. And so this was translated into Chinese with the term churming, to hold the name. And so it was still a meditative practice. They would also say, if you find you're really tired and you can't even do that, then saying the name out loud and just repeating it is an antidote to sleepiness. And, you know, especially if you do it in a very loud voice, you know, you can kind of keep yourself and your meditation on track. So even though this veers into an actual audible oral repetition of the Buddha's name, it is still not understood as calling the Buddha, you know, kind of, hey, Amitabha, I'm over here, right? It's still an adjunct to meditation and a way of fighting off drowsiness. It's Shandao who really says clearly and unambiguously, this term Nyenfo means oral repetition, saying the name out loud, in order to elicit the other power of Amitabha so that Amitabha will take you to the Pure Land when you die. Shandao's the one who really makes all that very clear. But the term never loses all these other connotations.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very rich literature where people try to systematize various kinds of Nyenfo, both as oral repetition and as a meditative practice, both as eliciting Amitabha's other power and as achieving a state of samadhi. Again, it's an eclectic tradition. None of it is ever presented as being in opposition to anything else. It all works together, ideally. And so what does it mean to say the Pure Land Dharma Gate? And what I discovered in every passage in which I found the term is that it referred to a practice. But I also found that it wasn't just practice, and that's why I don't limit this to practice, but I choose to translate Fa Men as tradition of practice, because the Dharma Gate also included the literature and the discourse that supports the practice. Now, this is very different from talking about a sect or a denomination. think about Marian devotions, you know, devotions to the Virgin Mary in Roman Catholicism. It is something available to all Roman Catholics. It's not a separate sect within Roman Catholicism. Nevertheless, it occupies a discrete space. It is something people can choose to do if it appeals to them and they're inclined to it. There are liturgies that people compose to help people do it. There are books and treatises that people write outlining the theology of it. All of those are part of the tradition of Marian devotionalism. And as such, it occupies its own distinct space, and it is spoken about within Roman Catholicism as something separate, something identifiable that's different from other traditions of practice like the Jesus Prayer. So that, to me, solved the whole riddle of what this is. It is something available to any East Asian Buddhist who wants to take it up. People have in the past, say, talked about Chan Pure Land syncretism. I've come to think that that doesn't really make sense in this context. They are both accepted practices within a single religious framework. So whatever ethical considerations were going to happen had to be in conversation with all of Chinese Buddhism. So there was never a need for Pure Land to develop its own ethics, because it was never fenced off from the rest of Chinese Buddhism in that way. What they would stress is that the Western direction construct is an upaya. It's a skillful means for people who just aren't there yet. And that when you get to the Pure Land and you're instructed by the Buddha Amitabha, you will at that point come to realize that it was all mind only all along. You will actually come to see the truth of mind only. And at that point, you'll be enlightened. And so the main argument back to the people saying, no, it can only be mind only, was you're denying that the Buddha can employ skillful means. And by the way, you know, how much hubris are you displaying by saying you've grasped this truth? Maybe you actually need this upaya, and maybe you should start practicing Nyenfo and try to get reborn in the Pure Land.